you with my special wishes for past Christmas, which is merging to other holiday time with anticipation of New Year, and with idea that this few days will be very meaningful, and somewhat contemplating on our lives. And I cannot imagine a better guest for our life thoughts and our life ideas and plans, who devoted his life thinking, and his extremely valuable and profound book to all of us who, simply speaking, wants to know what they're doing, can appreciate feelings of each other and be in a harmonious relationship. The name of my guest is Elliot Katz. I will make just a very quick introduction, after which I will introduce Elliot with his thoughts, and the author of this just extraordinarily special book. I wanted to congratulate him immediately because the compact size of this book allows, in our very rushed life schedule, to read this book with a very clear understanding. His transparent language, his philosophical grasp of the most complex issues which we face not only every day, but sometimes even every minute, is so comprehensively described. I would imagine that it is a special skill. I would say, with my strong belief, that the genius thinking of this author is such because he was able to say a lot in a, such a relatively short and modest in size book. I'd like to introduce Elliot Katz and like to welcome him with my first question. Reading this book myself, I still like to ask him what prompted him to touch such incredibly profound subject, which has to do with the idea of being strong man a woman wants. Elliot, please, you're on with all scale of your thoughts.
Okay, thank you, Lena. It's great to be on your show today. You know, like a lot of books of this type, the book was really a result of my own journey, of my own searching, for insights on, on what is a man's role. I was married for 10 years, then I got divorced. And like a lot of people, at first I blamed the other person. And then I came to the point of thinking, well, what do I have to learn from this? I don't want to go through this again. And that's really what sort of spurred me to go and say, what does it mean to be a man today? You know, I'm really not sure. There's a lot of confusing ideas. And as I talked to other men and listened to what they said, it seems most men are confused. We hear these ideas, be sensitive, develop your feminine side, all these ideas, and they don't seem to be working. Like, men try so hard to please, but they're not pleasing women at all. And then I started reading books. You know, there's a lot of books on relationships, and I read a mountain of them, and they really didn't say anything to me. But what does it mean to be a man? What is a man's role? What is a man supposed to do, you know, to be a man in a relationship, in a marriage? And it was only when I turned to the teachings that in previous generations that fathers and other older male role models used to teach younger men that, you know, I was really blown away, because here these insights were giving me answers to the complaints that I often heard women say about men, that they don't show leadership, they don't make decisions, and they don't take responsibility. I heard, you know, there's this gigantic disconnect. Men think they're being sensitive and non-controlling, but women complain men, they're oblivious. They don't seem to, you know, they don't seem to be aware of what's going on in their home and their marriage and their families. And you know, women complain they feel like single parents even though they're married. So it's this really gigantic disconnect.
So true. And the connections, actually the roots are going way deep before even marriage or any kind of union takes place. Just to sharpen my thoughts a little bit, to say that a woman, if has a background to keep household in a neat way, if she was trained or brought up in a household tradition by her mother, and that is sort of speak an automatic work for her, which is not a, an effort, it's just a part of her life, that would be a one thing. But if woman comes to the marriage with the idea that she is equally equipped with her scientific or artistic talent, and she really doesn't care that much about the household, she doesn't want to become full-time mom, these are issues which can present already a problem. And they're not a good or bad issues. They are issues. And that, I feel, even as a woman, puts tremendous pressure on a man, because no matter how you dance it, man is the, well, he is the powerhouse. And in fact, by definition, manhood is something which we would automatically associate with strength and power. But as you said correctly, there is a confusion. And indeed, in our modern society, where women in this intellectual equality like to establish their freedom of choice and other things they're entitled to, but that brings tremendous stress and strain on the relationship. So I would say, jumping a little bit ahead in your book, I love this expression, which one of your heroes using, he used a new word, created a new word describing the man's role. He calls it a husbandship, and he describes this in a very clear and very eloquent way, but he himself had quite a journey, quite a painful experience with his wife and her expectations and other things which he really could not understand. And until he spoke to the older generation, this connection which you mentioned, that younger men learn from the older generation, he really could not comprehend and found his own niche in the relationship. So I'm jumping a little bit ahead in the book, and I'm sure you will be a little bit more detailed on this. But I believe that one of the complications are relating to the roots, different cultural traditions, and some psychological platform, which are very hard to integrate in any kind of relationship, whether it's a marriage or even a friendship. So how one can find principles are not the correct word, but perhaps it's some kind of willingness of more intuitive openness, a willingness to have some emotional bravery and understand a little bit more where people are coming from.
Well, no, that's exactly right. What you said about that traditionally, you know, men were expected to be strong, and that's true. But what's happened in this generation is many boys today, they grew up, you know, in families of divorce where there was no father or their fathers worked long hours. Then they go to school. Most of the teachers are women. You know, they watch television. Men are portrayed as buffoons and you know, incapable people, incapable husbands and fathers. So where was a boy, a young man, to learn that, you know, his job is to be strong and to be a leader and make decisions, and that's what women want from him? And it seems so pervasive in our society that, you know, so many times I talk to men and I tell them, you know, your job is to be a leader. You know, your wife wants you to make decisions. She doesn't want you to leave all the decisions to her. She doesn't want you to control her, but she doesn't want someone who's just leaving every decision to her. So, and a lot of times men will say to me, that, oh, they've never heard this before, that no one's ever told them this. Why hasn't someone told them this before? It's a real, I think, you know, it's really a societal thing that our society, so many boys grew up without these insights that traditionally, like, fathers were role models. They've not only taught them, but they were role models to their sons of this is what a man should be.
Exactly. I hope you would not mind if I will be a little jumpy from our modern society to some traditions which have been established over the, I would say, almost over the century. If I will make this immediate parallel at the Stone Age, I would be that emotionally brave and saying that with an instinct, man would go and bring food for the family. It is such a simple crystal formula that the man takes this challenge with the outside world, and he supports his family, and a woman is sitting and bringing comfort to the children and bringing comfort to the head of the family. There are issues here because there is misconception between being in control and yet being controlling. And controlling, in my estimation, to make it very quickly and clearly, it's very weak. In fact, controlling behavior is a very insecure behavior, which is, unfortunately, domestic violence takes tremendously strong negative results in our modern society. Going back, however, when man was in the control of bringing security and warmth to the family, that was really that was really a symbol of true power, and a woman was appreciating and worship the man of her life and the father of her children. And that was somewhat unspoken, instinctive rule of the house. I strongly believe that somehow, with the development of our society, this instinct got mixed up with some other instincts. So how do you feel that the past can somewhat recreate and bring this clear clarification, the woman's role and the man's role?
Well, I just want to comment, you know, what you say about controlling and leadership. And, they really think, oh, the home is the woman's domain. I'll let her make all the decisions. And like I said earlier, to the wife, she feels like the man is just oblivious, that he's not contributing. She feels like a single parent. So what the book is, in many ways, really the teachings that over the centuries, you know, like I said, fathers and other older male role models used to teach younger men. And really, that's why I put the book together, was to bring back those teachings, because we really need them today. Like, you know, that a man has to take responsibility. He can't blame his wife. You know, even if his wife pushes him into something and he pressures him into something and it goes wrong just like he thought it would and he starts blaming her, well, nobody has any sympathy for him, because people still feel the man is responsible for what goes on in his home, and nobody wants to hear men say he's a victim of his wife. You know, you were the man. It was your job to make sure. If you thought it was wrong, you shouldn't have let it go on. You know, these are ideas that you tell them to men, and it's like, you know, this is news to them. I mean, this is the teachings that for generations fathers taught younger men, and we've lost that. It's like a whole generation has lost that insight.
Unfortunately, you're so right. And going back to your book, there are some just a wonderfully beautiful expressions. I would step a little bit away from the content of our conversation, and I would say there is some touch of charm of your book, because I felt that I was reading somewhat 19th century poetic novel, because when you're describing this relationship of this older generation, the grandparents, there was definitely some elegance and sincerity, yet very profound, clear idea, which certainly one start to think about, start to ask his or her own questions. And you're opening a window to this very modern problems we have, but the roots are a very old one. So I like to bring one example, I would say it's a very musical sound phrase. If you don't lead, I can't dance. And that that had to do with expression of the older lady, I believe her name is Sarah,
right,
who answered the question to a younger man who was wondering, among his many curious questions, how the marriage of, I believe it was 59 years, survived and was so prosperous between her and her husband. And this perhaps a little allegoric phrase would lead to the answer which you just talked about, that man should be a leader, and then a woman certainly can dance. So it is a expectation of the woman to have a strong, powerful man whose happiness to be the leader, not by duty, but by his instinct, by his choice, and by his self-proof of his intellectual and physical power. Because after all, it is a tremendous pleasure and gratification for a man's power to bring this sense of harmony and security to a woman. However, you're absolutely correct. In our present society, it's broken, and I think it's broken because previous generation had such a tremendously high divorce statistic. And I believe divorce statistic is so high because unresolved issues are carrying on to a new relationship, and unresolved issues there are infecting the next step of the relationship. So we are in a vicious cycle here. So what can we do? Number one, to read your book. That's I certainly would suggest to everyone. But what are your thoughts?
Well, I think
to this younger generation.
Well, I think basically, you know, one, like you say, I put these ideas together in the book. But another thing that, you know, especially important for young men is to have strong male role models. And even, you know, like young married men, I tell them, like, often, you know, people choose friends who are like themselves. So if you look around, like, they'll see other men who are just like them. You know, they're passive. They don't show any leadership at home. So the idea is break away. Watch men out there who are strong, who are leaders in their family, and become friends with them, you know, and watch how they interact. And, you know, you might think at first, well, look how he's being controlling. But no, he's not. He's showing leadership, and he's taking charge of his situation. And his wife doesn't feel controlled. She's happy that he's not leaving every problem to be solved to her. So, you know, like in anything else, you want to learn how to do it right, watch people who are good at it, and go out and seek men who are strong and learn from them. I mean, it's like the story in the book that Michael, the grandson, went to his grandfather to learn, as a role model, in the same way young men today should go out and look for strong men that they know that they can watch and learn from.
It is absolutely a wonderful idea. And I go as far as saying, because of divorce rate is so high, and we do have issues with the teenage pregnancy, and we are facing extremely strong crisis in our economy, I go as far as saying that perhaps even in school, the principles of the relationship should be introduced as a part of the social studies, because youngsters are very disoriented and they are extremely confused. I believe that bully phenomena, which we have in our society, is the greatest manifestation of it. That's where they feel they're controlling, but that's where they're tragically mistaken. So I think it's teaching those ideas with indeed book like yourself, perhaps with some guests from the older generation, when they can see real examples. I believe that inclusion in a program, an expansion of people's mind, will be somewhat beneficial. It's something to start to recreate change of young people thinking.
No, absolutely, I agree with you. I mean, one of the problems is, and I think, you know, educators are recognizing that we need more male teachers in school so that boys who grow up without fathers will have a male role model example of how a man does things. Absolutely. I think that's coming. I think, you know, there's a lot of talk about educators, about the need for more male teachers so they can be role models and, you know, and it's not only for role models for boys, but, you know, a girl needs a role model of what a man should be. You know, like a father is a role model to his sons of how to be a man, but to his daughters, he's a role model of what a man should be, so that when he can be a big influence on his daughters, because when she is looking, you know, what kind of man is she going to choose, you know, she will think of her father as a role model of what a man should be. I mean, that's what a father, one of his jobs is, to be an example to his daughters of what a man should be and what kind of man she should choose. So it's a big, big job we have out there.
It's a huge job. You're absolutely correct, and you just picked up on my other thought. It is really equal responsibility between woman or young girl and a young boy who then will develop in a young man. Unfortunately, there is lack of everyday respect for little thing, for responsibilities which a young girl has to follow. There are certain expectations of young children which should be replaced with their responsibilities. And unfortunately, economy plays a very negative role, because people with wealthier status have less psychological necessity to teach their children their responsibilities. I personally feel that allowances, even though it does develop discipline for money, but it certainly does not have enough discipline for their mental development. What do you think about this idea of allowances?
Well, I mean, what you're saying is true, but I think it's just another example of how much we've lost when, you know, fathers today think, you know, their role, you know, I mean, so many fathers they think their role is just to bring in the money, and they don't realize their role is to show leadership in all these areas about money and how, you know, teaching their children about life, how to succeed in the world, and not just bring in the money. You know, when a father just brings, you know, thinks about bringing in money for his kids, paying for this, paying for that, giving them money, and then, you know, as the years go by, he realizes that his kids only come to him when they want to ask for money. And that's really a hurtful thing when you think, well, you know, was I really a father? I mean, your job is to teach your children, you know, to be a teacher to your children about all the things they need to succeed in life. It's not just bringing in the money. That, you know, everybody needs money to live on. But it's more, your job is also to teach them the ways of the world.
And that's, I think, where woman should step into with her more aggressive role, where she has to articulate in her action and her pure behavior demonstration how much she is worshiping the father and her husband. So then children automatically, almost when they still don't understand in their earliest years of life, they would follow with their instinct tradition of their mother. I think that the women today either oriented in a very material, just a luxury, superficial things, or they are so busy with their own professional interests that they try to divide themselves, like to have an octopus life, I call it, and there is certain deceptive sense of success, where indeed they become very successful in their career, but at the same time they just don't have enough energy to see that they did deprive their children from the motherhood. And then the unfortunately the man of the house is also untaken care of.
No, what you're saying is true, but, you know, I try, you know, as a man, I wrote the book for men, and I try to avoid saying how women should change because, I mean, you could say that as a woman, but, you know, when so many times I talk to men and they're so convinced that the only solution in their marriage is for their wives to change, and they don't look at themselves. So really what I'm trying to focus on in the book and for other men is say, how do we have to change? How so that our, you know, our families will be better, our marriages will be better. You know, it's really, I mean, I agree with what you're saying, but, and it's good for you to say it, but as a man, I'm focusing on how do men have to change. Because when men go around saying women should change this way and that way and, you know, and everybody else should change, you know, you're going to get pretty frustrated. So I'm focusing on how men have to change. And it's a lot of the same things. A man has to realize he's more there. He's not just there just to bring in the money and take out the garbage. He's got to be a leader, a father. You know, fathers will say to me, but I come home, I'm so exhausted from working. How could I start showing leadership at home? And I said, yeah, but just like you work hard to bring in money because you want to provide a happy, good home for your family, so in the same way, you've got to save some of that energy, maybe not work as hard, save some of the energy to come home and be a father and a leader in your family because you want your family to be happy and have a good home.
Well, it's very nice of you to put all this weight on men's shoulder, and I hope you appreciate me being as a woman and to be actually quite sympathetic with what you're saying, but bring woman in a bigger role and a bigger sense of responsibility. Because let's face it, when man thinks whether he wants to come back home or not, he is thinking whether his wife will smile at him and if his children will be well taken care of. So this base, this household, is a great responsibility of the woman. Saying that, what you're talking about in your book is indeed emphasis on men's regrouping his perception, his self-worth, his focus. I just feel that man deserves to have the support, especially if he wants to be that much more powerful, productive, and balanced.
You're absolutely right. I agree completely with you. It's just, I agree, but I guess from my perspective, what I'm trying to say is, you know, men will say, well, if my wife would, you know, when I come home, my wife would treat me this way or that way, then I would be different. But then you're not showing leadership. You have to come home and be a leader and be the kind of person, you know, start taking charge, and so that she will be happy to see you. She will be smiling and, you know, and there'll be a positive atmosphere. I mean, I agree 1,000% with what you're saying, and the woman should do that. And I do talk about that in articles that I write, that this is what women can do to encourage their husbands to show leadership. But I also say, men, don't show this to your wife and say, this is what you have to do so that I'll start showing leadership. Because you're going to wait for her to start. You're not being a leader. You're the leader. Step forward. Start showing leadership. Start taking charge of solving problems at home. And your wife will respond positively to you.
Absolutely. And I do recall this wonderful long walk, which I believe this Michael took with a grandpa.
Right.
I am sorry, I forgot the grandpa's name. I felt I was talking to him myself, frankly. It was such a wisdom and such a crisp thinking of this grandpa, just the way he is exhibiting his wisdom. It was so real. I truly felt participating in this conversation. I just cannot thank you enough to write this wonderful book. It is so for everyone. It is for every moment of hesitation. So I'm sorry for giving this praise which threw my thought off, but I'm coming back to this thought and saying that this dialogue was very sincere because this young gentleman, Michael, was truly frustrating because he said, I'm trying to be a nice guy. I'm trying to do everything I believe her name is Liana, wants me to do. I'm trying to be a wonderful father. I clean the house. I mean, he really described himself, and one would say that he is an angel, and yet she's complaining. So the moral of that story was that she did expect him to be more of a man in his intellectual power, this making initiative and making decisions, making her and her family that he indeed provides a leadership. So in the beginning, I felt that she's a very spoiled and somewhat ungrateful woman. But then, going deeper in this dialogue, I understood that indeed she felt that her husband did not live to his own capacity. And once he overcame this barrier of not being just a follower, but to be as a leader, he became much more fulfilled with his life. So this transformation in thinking, which you so powerfully and transparently described in your book, is just mind-boggling and so, so impressive.
It really touches the point that many people, many couples find themselves in. It's like the men think, I'm being such a nice guy, I'm trying so hard to please her, and I can't understand why she's so unhappy. And he just doesn't understand. Even, at one point he says, I'm trying to do everything I can, and my wife says, I don't do enough at home, but I'm doing everything I can. And at that point is when the grandfather explains to him, well, it's not only like doing things, doing chores, it's showing the leadership, it's making the decision, it's taking charge of solving, situations. In marriage and families, there's always challenges and crises coming up. And she wants you not just to leave everything to her. She wants you to step forward and solve some of these problems, find solutions to situations that the children are in, whatever the home, the family. She doesn't want you to leave everything to her. She wants to look up to you as the leader. And that's really the crux of the matter. That's the message that the grandpa teaches his grandson, Michael.
Yes, it is quite revealing of grandpa's life when he started his marriage and they had only disagreements, and they've been searching their ways of live with each other. And indeed, he was not only honest about this, but he was very descriptive. He truly understood his own dilemma, which took place maybe, 50 years ago, which is so remarkable, because it was true, very profound, honest attempt on his part to find his own way in his marriage. And after that, their marriage was so not only productive, but it was so blossom, particularly because he could and probably still can help a younger generation. At least he helped one family to become in a much more productive and harmonious way. It's Michael's family.
That's one of the key messages of the book, that, really men have to be taught this, that, some men are natural leaders, but most aren't. And really, when a young man gets married, he has to learn to be a leader. It's really an opportunity to develop as a leader and a decision maker and a problem solver in the family. It doesn't just happen. You get married and suddenly you have those abilities. You have to learn those things, but it's important to know that's what you have to do. You have to develop those skills, and that's really the key message that the grandfather is teaching his grandson, and the grandson goes to his grandfather because his father didn't teach him these things. So it's like he's going to the link that, it's like these teachings missed a generation. So he's going to his grandfather to gain the wisdom that his own father didn't teach him.
And that's why I stretched so far, a bit repeating myself. we need those grandfathers in our schools, because people today mistakenly think that sex is a friendship. They think that if they want to be independent, that means they are independent. And now, because of economy, children are coming back to live with their parents, and they feel that this is a catastrophe, when indeed there is no catastrophe. It's just necessity. It's a realization of life. Perhaps they didn't learn enough from their parents and their household, and should take this opportunity and to learn a little bit more to get their strength together, maybe financial stability, and then have a second breath, second try in their own independence.
Exactly. It's really about learning. It's like it's learning and growing, and you know, there's challenges come up, and you have to take them on and deal with them, that's really the key message of the book. It's like you're saying, it'd be nice that people like the grandfather teaching these things in school, and that I think we're headed that way, because boys are just so confused, so unsure of their role in many ways. I think it's a growing realization of that need.
For some reason, again, I hope you appreciate my sympathy to men, but I believe boys have a harder time, because girls, by definition, a little quicker in their maturity. They're much quicker in orientation for practical needs and practical organization. But I think boys are having much harder time, because the profound confusion of their manhood power on a physical level often has a big gap in their realization of mental maturity.
Well, I think one of the reasons is that, when you have a divorced family and the children are being raised by a single mother, the girls have a role model of a mother. They have a role model of a woman. It's the boys that grow up without the role model of a man. So I think one of the reasons women succeed, because they have role models they can learn from, but the boys don't, and that's really what's lacking.
Yes, I agree with you. Actually, it is absolutely the truth. And I, personally teaching for many, many years, I particularly felt the tremendous difference between male performance on a stage and a women's one. Male tend to depend upon this fictitious measure of perfectionism much more than a woman. They are much more vulnerable. Their ego is much more fragile. And I found that what prompted me actually to feel that woman's role has to be somewhat also reincarnated and being more sensitive to a man because of what actually you're talking about. But it is indeed my personal observation that a man has a bigger challenge in the world, in every frontier.
Well, I think especially today, I think you see a lot of women are getting ahead, and that's good, but the boys seem to be getting left behind. I think what you're saying is true. But I think they just need, but boys need to be taught, and that's really my objective, is like teach men that they have to be leaders, so that this is the goal you should work towards, and not just your goal should be to be this, passive, nice guy who's sensitive, be a man, take charge, look for leadership, look for opportunities to develop your leadership skills and see where you're needed, step forward, don't just be on the sidelines. When a man just stays on the sidelines when there's a problem, nobody has any respect for him. Step forward and deal with the challenges that are facing you, and not just leave everything to the woman.
I like very much your your parallel. I should say not much of a parallel, but example of making a decision by man. And I like to take right from your book a description of President Churchill, who said that his most brilliant achievement was persuading his wife to marry him. I found this not only amusing, but I found it extremely impressive how open a person can be and measure his political achievement with a deeply personal one.
That's true. That's true. Right? That's very. That's a good point.
I would say that there is, in ideal situation, there is no borderline between outside achievement and inside achievement. Meaning, whatever man would achieve in his outside action and his inside achievement of his own personal, emotional, intellectual achievement, if those meet each other, this is heaven. I believe this is a harmony man can dream to have.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, and that's, but men have to develop themselves, and like we're saying, they're being left behind, and they can achieve that if they, it's like they step forward and develop themselves.
Well, how we can help men to get even more comfortable with himself? I asked that question reading your book, because there is such a struggle and misconception between financial success and human success. It is such a tragedy that money are much greater indicator for the success than it should be. And I think that is such a conflicting message which we're facing with. Reading your book, I would feel that you have this emphasis and confidence in inside success first, and then you feel that outside success will be as a product of that inside success. That conclusion I came to.
No, absolutely, absolutely. You know, one of the big problems with men when they're fathers is they think if they just bring in the money, they're being good fathers. And, you know, you need to earn a living, but it's the real success in being a father is raising children that, you know, are good people, you know, having a home that where there's peace. These are the things that, you know, those are the inside success. The outside success of making a lot of money, you know, it may impress other people with, you know, a lot of money, a big house, fancy cars, but you see so many families that, you know, they have a lot of money and a lot of possessions, but there isn't peace and there isn't happiness. So it's really what you said, that and it's largely due, you know, a part of it is due to the father not being in his role of being a leader, of making sure there's peace in his home, of teaching his children the ways of the world, you know, how to succeed in the world, how to be a good person, how to relate to other people, how a boy should relate to other men, and how, you know, and, you know, be a good role model of a man for your daughters. This is what brings happiness, ultimately. The amount of money you have, you know, we all need money to live, but, you know, beyond a certain point, all that money doesn't bring happiness.
Elliot, I think it's a time for me to ask you a little bit more about yourself. It was very clear your dynamic curiosity, your eagerness to see how one can profit from your understanding, comprehension, and great desire to open up to some idea, to help men in their thinking, in their action. I found certain things very beneficial as a woman. But who is Elliot Katz for himself? What is his childhood, what is his history and stages of understanding about our world?
Well, it's an interesting question. I think, you know, I think my my growing up years was really a reflection of, you know, what I talked about. We had all these ideas, you know, really, you know, men were to be sensitive. Men, you know, were not, you didn't want to be controlling. And, you know, really following all the trends. You know, this is all these messages we hear. And I was really, like everybody else, I was following all the trends of what I thought a man should be. And I was like, you know, out in the first and foremost, I was like, you know, the nicest guy, nice, sensitive guy. And then I think really, like I said, I was married for 10 years. And then, well, that ended. You know, marriage is quite a traumatic experience, and it really sort of shocks you to really examine your life. You know, you could go either way. You could just sort of stay in your rut and not change, or you could say, well, I have to change because this isn't working. And, you know, it's really, that's what led to this journey of seeking wisdom and insight. And, like, really, so many times I'd find something, just I'd learn something, just blew me away. It's like, wow, this was written 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago. And it's so fresh, it's so vital, it's so relevant today. It was hard to believe. And I began to realize, you know, the challenges that men face today, men, this is part of men growing up. This is part of, you know, what men go through, have gone through for generations. And, you know, today it's really, you know, made me a much happier person. You know, I have a good relationship with a woman today. It's you know, she's glad that I step forward and show leadership and make decisions. You know, so she's met so many guys. They, it's, we, you know, single women will tell you that men today, they ask them out for a cup of coffee. The guy won't even decide where to go for a cup of coffee. I've heard this from a lot of single women, and so, you know, it's really a time to really to learn, like, you know, what the ideas that are so popular today just aren't working, and saying, let's learn the insight and teachings that in previous generations men learned, and it's made a big difference in my life. It's brought me a lot of much happier life.
Well, thank God it took only one marriage for you to know where you are.
Well, one divorce is enough.
Yes, I certainly congratulate you with that. Just to comment a little bit that a man not quite sure where to have a cup of coffee. This is a very subtle comment you made. It depends what kind of cup of coffee and with what kind of woman.
Well, you know what, I've talked to a lot of single women. You know, the interesting thing about the book is it's very popular with women, and they're asking me how to get men to read it, and they'll tell me, they'll say, you know, like, men ask them out, you know, even like, you know, young women, like 20 years old, say a man calls her up to ask her out, and she says, yeah, let's go out. Oh, okay, where would you like to go? What time should I pick you up? He can't, you know, if you don't have a plan for anything, it's like, and she's looking at you like, well, are you a potential life partner? How are you going to handle real problems? And you can't even come to me with a plan of what you would like to do to go out on a Saturday night. It's really, like, and men think that, you know, you talk to men about this, they say, oh, I'm showing I'm flexible, I'm not controlling. It's really, that, you know, like I said at the beginning, there's this gigantic disconnect. They are so far apart that men just have to stop, get rid of this idea that it's not about being controlling, it's about being a leader, and she wants you to be the leader. She wants you to take the lead. It's like dancing, you know, when the dancing where, you know, where the man has to take the lead, you know, if you're dancing together and the man isn't leading, the dance isn't going to work.
And that's what this grandmother said. I think I mentioned her expression. She said, if you do not make step forward, I cannot follow, something like that.
If you don't lead, I can't dance. If you're not leading in this dance, I can't dance with you. That's really what the message. And it's not about controlling. It's about showing leadership. It's not about making every decision. You know, people say, are you saying men should make all the decisions? It's not about men making all the decisions. This book is about men who make no decisions. And women are totally frustrated with them.
Well, this coming to conclude that particular segment of a first meeting, I think in many ways men are a bit of scared right now because women's assumption is very quick. They're about those shortcuts. After coffee, it will be immediately another date. There is no honoring process of building communication, building relationship. People don't speak that much eye to eye. This computer texting mentality is cutting all communication so dry. It's a pure physical contact, but there is no much of interaction where people, especially men, can build his vision where he stands in this beginning of the relationship. So I think what you're saying is even more relevant because such a predominant role of our technology.
Well, what you're saying is true, and you know, and men need to have vision. I mean, just like you have a vision if you're starting a business, you have to have a vision for a relationship, for a marriage, for a family. Like, what is, you know, you can't just say, you know, we like each other, but what is your goals, or what is your goal to achieve with your family? Like, what is your vision? And I think that so much of that has been lost, and that's one of the that's some of the things that the grandfather is teaching, Michael. You know, what is your goal for your family? Not just, well, we like each other, because when things get difficult, what's going to keep you together? You know, if you have a goal that you want to achieve, like anything, if you're going through difficult times, that, you know, you say, well, yes, it's difficult, but it's part, we have a goal. We're on our way to achieve this goal. This obstacle has come up, but we're headed towards that goal. But if you don't have that, then what's going to keep you together? That's one of the things the grandfather teaches.
And communication, again, is such a vital bridge between two people, but not necessarily talking. It's looking at each other's eyes. It's sharing tastes, hobbies, and all this interaction which are building this and encouraging man to be a leader. Inspire him to gain his strengths to be a leader because of a clear vision what his partner wants.
Absolutely. You know, when they have a clear vision, you know, that they decide on together, then you have strength of convictions. And when you have decisions that need to be made, you have something to measure it against. Is this going to get us off our path? Is this, you know, what are our values? What are our values in common? So if this situation comes up and says, well, we know what's right and wrong because this is what our values tell us. You know, all these things, you know, seem to have been lost in this generation. Those are some of the things that the grandfather's teaching.
I certainly feel part of this grandfather's conversation, and I'm repeating this because your skill and just such an intuitive, I would say gentle language, made everyone so comfortable to read your book. Makes men to feel like a human with a new sense of power, or for someone who doesn't have it enough or didn't realize enough of having it, certainly can find a source, can find himself in this power. So concluding our conversation, I like to express a couple of things. Number one, I wanted to thank you so much for writing this book because it's way beyond, as I said, this modestly sized book. It is wonderful thoughts which one can go on a daily basis, almost to keep it as a part of everyday routine. So I'm thanking you for making this so available to everyone. It is, I would say, seductively simply written, and yet it is so clear, so powerful, and the mostly important, so true to our society. I wanted to thank you again, and if you kindly can tell our listeners where they can buy this book, where they can find you, and I think that will be a logical conclusion of our conversation.
Okay, thank you very much, Lena. Well, thank you for those kind comments. The book It's called Being the Strong Man a Woman Wants, and you can get it from Amazon.com. And it's also available in the bookstores like Barnes & Noble and Borders. And if you go to a store and they're out of it, just ask them, and they'll order it and get it to you pretty quickly. But probably the fastest way is you just go to Amazon, and they deliver it pretty fast to you. So it's Being the Strong Man a Woman Wants, Timeless Wisdom on Being a Man.
Well, I thank you for sending me a book. The only thing I'm missing, your autograph, which perhaps I don't know how, but maybe can be arranged. But I'm wishing you to write, to think, and to be that understanding and thoughtful as one can be for our younger generation and for all of us. As a woman, I'm also very thankful. Now I know what is a strong man all about.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Lena. It's wonderful to be on the show, and it's very interesting points that you raised. And, you know, there's a big job out there to be done.
Well, thank you so much. I would say until soon. I will be saying goodbye to my very special, talented thinker, Elliot Katz, with my best holiday wishes for him and his family. And after my music, I will have a few post thoughts, which will be the last in this year.
Okay, thank you, Lena.
Thank you again for being my guest. And these are my thoughts. The last one in this year. This is my last program. And as many of you, I feel somewhat with mixed emotions. And it's my true privilege to share my final thoughts, especially having this program regarding another human issues, which we just discussed. I hope that the invisible line of all my programs had to do with endless amount of possibilities for our human emotions, our human mind, very well-known thought. What I was trying to do is to bring my own vision, to bring my own touch of connections. This what fascinates me the most is connections. My definition for genius is the more connections one has, the more genius he is. I'm very much looking forward to explore more connections in the new year and to make them perhaps sometimes very unpredictable, and to find more connections in the most disconnected moments. But somehow we can, we should, and sometimes we must find those connections. That's how we will be expanding. That's how we will become with more open mind. We will treasure this beautiful parachute, which is always flying when it's open. So I'm wishing all my listeners to have this open flying mind, and with that, to have more experiences in the new year. And on this thought, I like to attach this very magnetic group of PBS creators. I wanted to thank them for all of us to give us this opportunity for sharing. For more sharing with this final thoughts and music, that was your Lina Life. I am Lina Mirmont. Until next year. Mm-hmm.